Returning again to that scripture reading we had earlier in the service, and there is one particular part that we want to focus upon tonight. But before we do that, let's bow together in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy Word. We thank Thee for giving it to us in our mother tongue, and for giving to us Thy Holy Spirit to guide us into its truth. Lord, what a blessing this is. We've been singing of our blessings, and the enumerating of them as much as it's possible for us to do. We don't believe we could get very far, for we have to stop at so many blessings and dwell upon them and think about them. Thank You, Lord, for the Bible. Thank You for the one whom the written Word bears witness to, the one known as the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And pray, Lord, that Thou will bless the preaching of Thy Word tonight. We have asked Thee to bless the reading of it. Now we come to pray for the preaching of it. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to be upon us. We remember whenever Peter preached in the home of Cornelius long ago, that the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the Word. May there be such an experience tonight. May we know that the Lord is in this place. Grant the power of the Holy Spirit then to preach the Word, and may Christ be magnified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In these words that we have read from Mark chapter 10, we have before us the thrilling story of the miraculous healing of a man who was blind. Did you ever try to imagine what it must have been like for one to suffer blindness? Think of the darkness they must be undergoing and the inability to see things that we take for granted. To look upon the face of a loved one or a friend, to behold the beautiful scenery that we may behold whenever we're out and about. Think of the stumbling that they must experience, maybe walking into pieces of furniture, maybe hurting themselves in the process. Think of the discomfort. Try to think of it just for one day. Open that out larger for a week, a month, a year, and maybe decades. We just do not know how long this man was blind. But he was a man blind and a man who had to beg for a living. A man whose circumstances were terrible for him. But that was all to change because one day the Lord Jesus Christ came by. This man was in his usual place in the area where he seemed to have resided, outside of Jericho, or at least that's where he was at this particular time. To me, he seemed to sense something unusual happening. He was a man used to hearing things. People say that whenever there's blindness, the hearing may be enhanced to a great degree, a great measure. But he seemed to sense that something was happening that day, and upon inquiry, he was told, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And whenever he heard that, he began to cry out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For he realized, that is Bartimaeus, the name of this blind man, realized, he is one who can do something for me. And if he's passing by, then I may miss my opportunity. I need to make contact with him now. And he called upon the Lord. He was put down at first by the passers-by or by the people who were in attendance. But he prevailed. He was not to be denied. And the Lord Jesus Christ heard his voice above the voice of others. And he stopped and he commanded the man to be brought to him. And there he performed that marvelous miracle in which blind Bartimaeus received his sight. And in the process of that great miracle, the Lord Jesus Christ said something that is so significant, and I want us to consider this tonight in the context of this story. We'll read the verse, and then I'll give you the part. Verse 52, the last verse of Mark chapter 10. And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And the part I want us to look at is that part that is these words, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And as we come to look at this, we want to ask ourselves what was involved in Bartimaeus' faith that Jesus made such a disclosure concerning it. Why was it so special to the Lord? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, its importance. We cannot read the Word of God, and certainly cannot read the New Testament, without noticing the place that it has in the thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is something that he deems to be very important. Let's take the word faith itself. In the Word of God, we come across instances where the Lord Jesus Christ was so thrilled when he saw faith in action. You remember the story of a centurion who had a servant, and this servant was dear to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this servant was so ill that he was viewed to be at the point of death. And the centurion sent others to the Lord and asked the Lord Jesus to heal him. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Well, I'll come and heal him." But when the man heard that, he said, "Oh," he says, "I'm not worthy that the Lord Jesus should come here. Let him speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And the Bible says, when the Lord Jesus heard that, he said, the Lord marveled. And by the way, there are two things that made the Lord marvel in the gospel record. One was here when faith was in evidence, and the other was when faith was absent. But the Lord Jesus marveled at this man's faith, and he says, "I have not found such great faith." No, not in Israel. He deemed it to be so important. Whenever two blind men came to him, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, they said they wanted the Lord to heal him, but he did not make any comment for a while. And then they followed him right up to a house into which he was entering, and they pleaded with him again. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yeah, Lord." And he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." You may remember the woman of Canaan who had a daughter grievously vexed with the devil, for whom this woman came to the Lord Jesus Christ to plead. The Lord Jesus Christ would not even answer her for a time. And then whenever he did answer her, he seemed to be so austere. The disciples said, "Send her away. She crieth after us." She was not crying after them at all. She was crying after the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord broke the silence and said, "I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And she's cried, "Lord, help me." And the Lord said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord." But the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And whenever the Lord heard of her reasoning with him, and her holy argumentation with him, all coming from faith, this is what he said, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." You may well remember whenever the Apostle Peter and the others were gathered in that upper room that night before the terrible ordeal that the Lord would go through, both in Gethsemane and then at the cross. You remember how the Lord Jesus said to Peter and to them all, "Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. The Lord deemed faith in the life of an individual to be of the utmost importance. You remember whenever he put out on a boat, he told the disciples to put out on a boat, and he fell asleep. And Luke's account gives us a graphic illustration of the importance of this faith, this matter of faith. He fell asleep. The storm came. They panicked. They thought they were going under. And they woke up the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ stilled the waves and commanded them to be still. And he spoke to the wind and commanded it to be silent. And then when there was the great calm, he said to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" You see how importantly he considered it? That's the word faith. But take the word believe, that's a cognate word of it. You take that word believe, you'll find that he said on one occasion, "As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." The leper came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the Lord said, "I will be thou clean." There was someone who had confidence in the Lord's ability. He was not just so sure about the willingness, but the Lord said, "I will be thou clean." You remember whenever Jairus had come to the Lord Jesus about his daughter who was at the point of death, but the Lord was detained because there was another lady of great need, the woman who had the issue of blood. And just whenever the Lord had finished with her and brought glorious healing into her life, people came from Jairus' home and they said to Jairus, "Trouble not the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." And the Lord Jesus Christ intervened right away and he said, "Fear not, only believe." My dear friend, this matter of faith is so important in the Christian life. This matter of believing is so important, we can't even become Christians without it. Do you remember whenever the Lord Jesus Christ said on one occasion to Nicodemus, he was asking, "How could a man be born again?" And the Lord Jesus Christ began to explain to him. And in the course of his explanation, he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." What a story. What an illustration of something that happened about 1,500 years previous. You get the story in Numbers chapter 21. The children of Israel had been griping against the Lord and had been showing great evidences of unbelief and discouragement. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among them because they were despising the manna, which was a type of Christ and his crosswork and a type of the Word of God. And these serpents began to bite all around them, and many people were dying. And the people called to Moses and said, "Moses, call unto the Lord to do something for us." And Moses did. The intercessor, he went to God, and God said, "Moses, take a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, lift it up in the camp, and whoever looks upon that serpent, they will be healed." And I can imagine the people dying in their tents, and once their loved ones heard that message, they were bringing them out to the door flap of the tent and saying, "Look yonder where Moses is. Look at that serpent on the pole and you'll be healed." And as they did, they were healed. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, just as they looked upon the serpent on the pole, "You believe in me." So looking and believing in me are one and the same. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thine house." Believing and faith are the same thing. And tonight, my dear hearer, if you're not a Christian, your church going will not save you. You're submitting yourself to creeds and ceremonies and partaking of ordinances, sacraments, and being self-righteous of no avail. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. So I urge you tonight, as the Philippian jailer cried out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" to Paul and Silas. So I answer in the words they give, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house." Exercise saving faith in Him. Put your trust in Him. The importance of faith, what a place it has in this matter of salvation. God has provided the remedy through His Son suffering and dying on the cross at Calvary, shedding His precious blood as He offered Himself a sacrifice without spot to God in order to save the lost. Look away to Christ tonight. Put your trust in Him. The importance of faith. But I want you to notice from these words that the Savior said to Bartimaeus, not only the importance of faith, but the eminence of faith. Notice what He said, "Thy faith hath saved thee." It's the Lord Jesus Christ who does the saving. But see, it's Spurgeon remarking in this matter, said that the Lord Jesus took the crown of His own head and put it on the head of faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in His word, shows us, in His view, the great things that faith can accomplish. You know, whenever you're ill, you get a script from the doctor, or maybe it's more serious, you have to undergo tests and perhaps surgery. But whenever you receive that script, that medication, and imbibe it, appropriate it, take it. That's how you're going to get better, if the doctor deems that your case is right for the medication that he's prescribing. You've got to appropriate it. You may take it home with you. Your loved one may take it home for you if you're confined to the house. And you look at what it says, take 2-3 times a day or whatever, or 1 in the morning or 1 at night. You've got to appropriate that, or you'll never get better. And this is what we've got to do with Christ. We've got to appropriate Him, and it's by faith. Or if someone gives you a gift, you put out the hand to receive that gift. It's the hand. That's the picture of faith receiving Christ, the hand receiving the gift. That mouth, when you take that medication, is a picture of faith receiving the remedy. And the Lord tells us in His Word in different places, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," or "Thy faith hath saved thee," or "According to your faith be it unto you." And the Lord Jesus Christ is actually showing us the honor that He puts on faith when He says, "Thy faith saves thee," whenever He is the Savior. You think of what He said with regard to faith's power. One day He said to the disciples, and it's just in a chapter associated with this, the next chapter, chapter 11. He said, "Have faith in God. Verily I say unto thee, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them." Lord Jesus Christ is showing the power of faith there, and He's showing us how He honors it. We have only to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and see what faith can accomplish. But let me give you one instance. It's verse 11 of that chapter. "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. An old woman at the stage, 89 years of age, and at 90, the child of the covenant promise with Abraham, and it had regard to Isaac, was born. Abraham was 99 whenever he got that same promise that his wife got. You get the detail of it in Genesis chapter 17. Paul's comment on that, commentary on that in Romans chapter 4 was that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and considered not his own body now dead, nor the barrenness, the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. The power of faith. How eminent a place it holds. Not only an important place, but an eminent place. And the Lord Jesus thinks so highly of it. And so ought we. And this is something that we should be seeking to cultivate day by day in reading God's word, in praying and fellowshipping with him and believing what he says, because he has in his word, we have been told, given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. But let me come to the last thing that I want to say about faith as it is here. And this brings us into the story. We've looked at its importance. We've looked at its eminence. I want you to notice now its presence. What was there in Bartimaeus' circumstances that called forth such a tremendous statement about his faith? What marks were present that Jesus observed? Well, I want to mention several. First of all, there was the identity that Bartimaeus perceived. You remember whenever we read the opening part of the section, that whenever Bartimaeus wanted to know what was going on, we are told in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. But he didn't call him Jesus of Nazareth. Notice the next verse, the next part. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus recognized that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, the promised Messiah. He recognized the identity, even though he could not see him with the naked physical eye. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he knew that this was the Son of David, the Messiah. There was faith and not knowledge. Bartimaeus recognized something more than Jesus of Nazareth to him. God's anointed one, the appointed deliverer for Israel, for his people, and for sinners. My dear friend, I want you tonight to see the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not just the guy down the street. He's not another great religious leader on a par with a multitude of others through the ages. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, is none other than the Lord of glory, the Savior of sinners. And you've got to recognize tonight that you have no hope apart from him. I have no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He's the only Savior. Peter made that clear when he was preaching to the Jews in Acts chapter 4. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The identity he perceived. Secondly, the ability that he acknowledged. This was in the presence of faith. The Lord Jesus Christ may well have said within himself, if this man is calling me the Son of David, he knows I'm the Messiah, and he's calling me to have mercy upon him, he must know that I can help him. And this is what Bartimaeus cried, Lord, have mercy upon me. And the Lord Jesus Christ tonight would press upon us that he is the one that has all power in heaven and in earth, and that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Where it exists, the Lord Jesus Christ sees it, and he's pleased with it. The identity that Bartimaeus perceived, the ability that he acknowledged, and then thirdly, the entreaty that he made. Oh, the Lord was pleased with that. That's one of the things that gives the Lord great pleasure when he sees how his people plead with him. Notice what happened. Whenever he began to cry out, he was put down by the people, verse 48, and many, not just a couple, but many, they must have gathered around that poor benighted man who couldn't see, he could hear the voices coming at him from every angle. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, he just said, keep quiet, shut up. But that just made the man all the more determined. And he entreated the Lord. He kept at it. And I'm wondering tonight, my dear friend, have you been thinking about becoming a Christian, but you're not getting very much discouragement from places? Don't you be put down by that. You show all the more determination in getting through to the Lord Jesus Christ and putting your trust in him. Even if people laugh at the suggestion of you becoming a child of God, don't let that annoy you. Get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus pleaded on louder. He wasn't going to be put off. It's been often said, I'm sure, from this pulpit, perhaps I've said it in the past even here, but people can laugh you into hell. They'll never laugh you out. Don't be put off by the criticisms and by the laughter. Make your entreaty to the Lord tonight. Cry unto him, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. But there was a fourth thing, and that was the tenacity he displayed. We've already made reference to that in a measure. Notice what we read in verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. The Lord didn't put him down. Oh, look at how these people changed their tune, still in verse 49. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. The point was, the Lord did call Bartimaeus. This man was tenacious. This was another element. He cried out the more a great deal. How exemplary this is. And the Lord told two stories to illustrate how pleased he is with it. You find them in Luke chapter 11 and in Luke chapter 18. In the one instance where a man had a visitor at midnight and he had no food in the house. This traveler had called for some reason or another, and he left the man in the house and he went to a friend and knocked him up, but the man wouldn't get up out of bed. And the man who had no bread in his house kept knocking at the door of his friend. He said, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And the man made all the excuses why he couldn't get up. But the man was not going to be put off. He kept knocking at the door. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I tell you, it wasn't because this man was a friend of the man who needed the bread. It was because of the man who needed the bread's importunity. In other words, keeping on praying. Keep at it. And the other story is of the widow. She had someone who had aggrieved her, hurt her, and she wanted the situation redressed. So she went to the judge, and it was the judge's responsibility to help in those days people who were hurt and offended and aggrieved, especially a widow. But this judge wasn't for helping. And she kept at him day by day. The Lord Jesus is telling the story. And then the judge says, though I fear not God, and I regard not man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her of her adversary. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to the hearers, listen, to what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect that cry day and night unto him? I tell you, he will, and that speedily. So what the Lord was saying of a crooked old judge wouldn't help the woman, but at last gave in to her persistence. How much more will the heavenly Father of God's people grant them deliverance in their need? There was a tenacity. There was this identity that he perceived and the ability that he acknowledged and the entreaty he made. Then lastly, I want you to notice the expectancy he possessed. All of these things, it all culminated in this. And this is what we learn about the expectancy. Notice verse 50. Whenever the crowd said, he's calling for you, they brought him over to the Lord Jesus. Verse 50 says, he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Why did he cast that garment away? Surely he would have needed it if he was going to be begging. Certainly whenever the cold weather would come, he would need something to keep him warm. But this man was not figuring on needing that anymore to assist him in his begging. He believed that now that the Lord Jesus has commanded him to be brought over to him, his thinking was, he's going to help me. He's going to deliver me. I know it. And there was great expectancy there. He discarded the garment. He did not expect to be needed again. He expected that now that he would get his sight back, he'd be able to work. He'd be able to do something to make a living and have gainful employment. Oh, the man's faith was there, and the Lord Jesus saw it, and he acknowledged it. That's what he said to the man. He said to him in verse 51, what wilt thou that I should do unto you? Well, would you not have thought it was obvious? The Lord knew what he wanted. But sometimes, friend, you can get into a condition where you nearly prefer the bleak circumstances that you've been through for so long that you could hardly get used to a better time. And that's what the Lord is saying to this man here. He says, are you absolutely sure now that you're up for this? This is really what you want. The man just said to the Lord, he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And look at the Lord's exclamation then in verse 52. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. All the evidences, all the manifestations of his faith was present in how he related to the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus was passing by that day. My dear friend, he's passing by tonight. The Bible says, let me say a word to those who are the Lord's people here. The Bible says that our faith can grow. You remember the disciples in Luke 17. The Lord Jesus said that if you have faith, like the grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamine tree, be rooted up, cast into the sea. The disciples, they just said, Lord, increase our faith. They wanted to have their faith increased. A very good request. We should pray that the Lord would increase our faith. Whenever Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, he said to them in the opening part of his epistle, he says, your faith groweth exceedingly. They weren't saved a very long while, but Paul saw the marks of growth in their faith. And of course, we've already referred to Abraham's faith, strong in faith, giving glory to God, not looking upon the difficult circumstances of the state of his own body, the state of his wife. How could children be born there? Yet if God said it, it would happen. And whenever Mary, when she was told she was going to be the mother of the Messiah, as far as his humanity was concerned. She said, "How can these things be? I know not a man." And the reply was, "With God nothing shall be impossible." Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees, looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities, and cries, "It shall be done." Seek the increase of faith. Use the means that God has provided, reading the Bible, prayer, fellowship, such as coming out to meet with God's people, reading the stories, the histories of people whom God mightily used. These are all things that God can use to increase our faith. But for men and women and young people tonight who are not saved yet, the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please Him. And it's the lack of faith, it's the unbelief that will damn the soul. "He that believeth is not condemned," the Savior said, "but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God." Oh, my dear friend, come and trust the Savior tonight. Come, every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. And the Lord will change your life forever and change your destiny and your eternity too. Will you turn from your sin? Will you put your trust in Him? Will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved tonight? May God grant that you will. Let's bow together in prayer.